KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
We're back for another fantastic week of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
So today is, what, the 15th?
Totally.
I think it is. And we've got a guest next week, right?
That's right. Next week, we're going to have the one and only, the infamous Danny Baranowski, with a Y, I might add, who's a video game music composer. And you can check out his website in anticipation. And that's dbsoundworks.com.
He's in the area, right?
And he's local to Phoenix. And maybe next week he can help us fix this buzzing problem we're having.
I don't hear the buzzing.
I hear it.
There's a bunch of
maybe
flies in my mind.
You guys have
right
to
now
have your
now, see, I had you turn
volume
mine up, and then I moved the cord a little bit, and it got like three times louder, I swear.
Yeah, well, there, that's your problem. So you guys have to be turned up really loud right now. That's your fault,
it's
not
extremely
mine.
Loud.
So next week we have Danny.
That's right.
And I haven't actually confirmed yet with Anthony, but we're looking at having Reverend Anthony Birch on the show in 2 weeks' time.
Woo.
So if people are interested in chatting with him, you should call in live when he comes on the show, and also with Danny next week.
You know how people say that, you know, every once in a while when you, like, hear about something new or, like, a new word or something that you never heard before, and then all of a sudden, like, the next, like, 5 days, you, like, you see it appear over and over again?
Have you never heard the word reverend before?
No, I have heard that word, but apparently now I know about five people whose last name is Birch.
Oh.
So, it's a good
That's
time.
Interesting. Any chance they're all the same family? Because that would explain it.
Most of them except for Anthony.
Okay.
Unless he's maybe he's related to them.
It's quite possible.
He's,
So for those who don't know, we've talked about him before.
He's local here, right?
Yes.
So maybe the Birch family is just has a massive
possible
presence in the
you
video
can ask
game
him
community.
But as I mentioned last week, which is our first show after PAX, at PAX I made a very lasting and positive impression with Rev Anthony. So he emailed me and seemed to confirm an interest in coming on the show. So
this makes me jealous.
Now
I want to be a reverend too.
Speaking of PAX, I think we just need to call out. Apparently, Kent Doggy Dog and Vega Rice were both at the Treasure Box, as they mentioned on the forums.
These two goobers never even said hi to me and told me who they were.
Now, come on. You know that video game geeks are infamous for being just horrendously introverted.
Dude, I would like them. They should tell me, if they're obviously listening live right now, right? They need to say how amazingly welcoming a host I was and how communicating and accommodating I was to the whole group. I felt I was very close to everyone in that audience. Both during the show and after the show, in the what I will call the after show, I think I did a pretty good job of making everyone feel welcome. So they should have been able to approach me just fine. One guy had no problem telling me that I had my fly down the whole show.
Very nice.
That's excellent. Right? It's because I give an extra good show.
Very classy.
That guy must not be he must be a casual gamer, not a hardcore gamer. to have the guts to tell you that.
Okay.
Since apparently the other
ones. Only after the show, by the way.
Well, he's hardcore enough to go to PAX.
That
apparently, that doesn't mean anything because nobody knows anything about video games at PAX.
So, speaking of PAX, there was something I wanted to mention last week. And so, we're talking about guests coming on the show. In the future, I think I'm going to try to get someone named Chris Nemkowski on the show. He's one of the small group of developers of Catan for Xbox Live Arcade, right?
And apparently, we just have a predilection for people's names who end with ski.
Sure.
So,
you know, two out of three, I guess, isn't all bad.
There you go.
So we met him. He was waiting in line for our show because a friend of his really likes the Chatterbox show. He called it the hidden gem of PAX. And, so he actually wanted to be one of the panelists. And I was like, dude, I can't have a developer up as one of his.
Hey,
that's sweet, but I'm hoping that we can, soon evolve into a non-hidden gem.
Because
we've been around this hidden gem status for quite some time.
That's true.
Given the success of certain contestants in the past on Treasure Box, maybe having an all-developer panel would be the way to go.
You know,
that might just convince me to come down there. You know,
that wouldn't be a bad idea. If we,
it could be like a celebrity Treasure Box.
I was thinking
we
should
do. Is that a conflict
of
interest if I go on there?
No. Well, yes. If you were a contestant, yes. No, I was we should have pairs of people in the future.
No, we could do a celebrity treasure box, so we could have developers do the questions, but then none of them get prizes. And all the prizes go to other people in the audience. Just for like, all right, you got that right, so this prize just goes to random person 12 in the
Pick
audience.
Pick a number.
Yeah.
all right, well, anyway, I got to end up talking to Chris for a while because it was cool just that he was there, and I picked on him a little bit during the show because of all the bugs in the game. But then somehow, through fate, we ended up at the same bar that evening, in a bar that's like not even close to where PAX takes place. Our friends just took us to this place off-site.
You were truly destined to meet.
Yeah, you would love it, dude. It's this crazy bar where the tables are old pinball tables.
Ooh.
It was really weird. And
there's
a pinball
parlor
in the backyard. No, you couldn't play. Like,
I'd
usable,
probably be like shifting people's things around, like, hey, get off this table. I'm trying to read this. Yeah.
Anyway, so we sat down and got to talk to him for quite a long time, and it was like this dream lived out for me because I got to chat with the guy who made a game that I play all the time that was just chock full of bugs, and I was talking to him about it, and you know, the whole idea of updating it and patching it, and the fact that they don't get free patches. They have to pay a bunch of money. So that's the reason. He's like, we have all of them fixed. And then I mentioned a bug. He's like, I didn't know about that one. So
very nice.
But he says that they have them all fixed. It's ready to go, but it costs $30,000 to go through the certification.
What?
For the patching.
Oh, they have to recert.
Yeah,
they
have to recert. So he was like, well, would you pay a few dollars for like extra like skins for the maps if it came with the bug fixes? And I was like, yeah, if it came with the bug fixes, I don't want the stupid skins. Normally, I would never consider paying for this stuff, but Catan is a special exception to all of this.
Because it's not like they can charge for bug fixes.
Correct.
Like, they're not going to be like, okay, we had to pay to certify this bug fix, so you have to pay to update the game now. Like,
yeah,
that would be ridiculous.
Let's say they charge like $3 for this map pack, uh-huh, though. I mean, they would have to sell 10,000 of them.
To break even.
Yeah, just to break even. And I don't know if there's that many Catan players who would want to go back.
That's
to
a bit rough, but
but I
don't know.
We could raise money in like an online petition or something.
Well, I think that actually that would be far more successful than going the other way around. And we do have a related story tonight about raising money, by the way.
Here's the thing, though. So I was very excited just to know that, first of all, there are people who made it who are still alive and working for Big Huge Games, and that Big Huge Games isn't totally dissolved even after becoming bankrupt. Oh, wow, totally need to sneeze. It's a good thing I have a microphone mute.
I think I almost went there last year, by the way. The Big Huge Games.
Did he get back to you on the ranking system of...
So I asked him about that. He didn't know, but he said he could get the answer for me.
So he's still working on the answer?
I haven't communicated with him through email yet. I actually texted him the other day, because one bug that's really annoying is when you're playing online and you place a settlement, and then the second time you go to place a settlement, it forces you onto the same spot you're already on. And then when you press the B button to pull your placed settlement up and place it somewhere else, it removes the settlement. So now you've got a road with no settlement next to it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So either you place two settlements on the same spot with one road, or you have two roads, one of which is connected to nothing. So that happened to her rather than one of the other people we were playing with. And so I texted him just being like, your stupid bug just screwed Michaela. I think she hates you. And so maybe he doesn't like me anymore because he didn't respond to that. But... I'm hoping to get him on the show.
So it's all his fault is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
It's
his
bug.
Well, here's the thing. I talked to him and he's like, yeah, it's really, I mean, the credits have a lot of people in it, but just that's because everyone at Big Huge Games has to be in the credits. But there were only like four people working on the game, he said.
Okay.
And I was one of the coders. So really, yeah, they are all my fault.
Can we talk about boobs now?
In a minute. I swear there was something else I wanted to talk about before the boobs.
No, it's boobs.
Boobs?
You want to talk about boobs.
With scribble knots. We will totally talk about scribble knots when we get back, because I don't want to squeeze
into
a couple minutes.
First.
But we can squeeze boobs into a small amount of time.
Indeed. So you may be wondering, why does R want to talk about boobs? Well, besides the obvious reasons.
I never wonder.
So, well, this is true. Actually, you shouldn't. But, yes, there's a pair of boobs that's staring me back from the desk here. And it's an ad for a game called Ebony.
Ebony used to have a different name.
Yes, it used to be called Sivony.
Sivony.
Because the Chinese who make this game apparently lifted a lot of elements from Civilization, and you know, they can't use the word civilization. They can't steal that, so they only stole part of the name.
And elements, like straight up text.
Right. So let me explain the boobs thing first of all before we get too deep into this. But yeah, so apparently Sivony, if you've been online, you may have seen Ebony now, ads for this game. And basically, the ads pretty much consist of a picture of some girl's boobs, clothed in lingerie, which apparently people have discovered were lifted from lingerie magazines.
Nice.
And or catalogs. And so once they got in trouble for doing that, then those graphics have changed subsequently. But yeah, basically all I'm looking at is just a pair of boobs in a bra, and it says, best free web game, play Ebony Free Forever. And at the bottom it says, play now secretly. Okay, whatever that means. I guess I have to be secretive if I'm going to play this game. But the funny thing is there's no girls in the game. There's no boobs or anything. It's just a ploy to get you to click on the button.
Every ad, though, like it started off as something less than this. The ads weren't as severe or you know, in your face.
Right, and, this is pretty in your face.
There are a couple ads that actually don't play the sex angle. They've got just a knight or whatever and a backdrop of a, you know, rolling hills and town and stuff.
Right.
But a lot of them, most of them, have a very buxom woman with,
right,
you know, hanging cleavage and all that.
And it's really just a ploy to get you to click on the thing and for you to download the game. Now, here's the interesting thing, right? People have, if you search for this game, if you do a search online, people have written all kinds of crazy stuff about it. There's this one article I found that's apparently says, you know, Ebony is, quote, a patchwork of stolen parts. They've lifted text from Civ 4, Civilization, and Civ 3, and just put it in that game. And in fact, they said that you can figure out what text hasn't been lifted from other games because it has a distinctly Chinese-English type of style to it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes. My favorite, which is the arch saw, which is described as saw, which said to be invented by Chinese craftsman Lu Ban. With the development of material and design, saw has been greatly improved. Metal saw became a commonplace in lumbering. The employment of saw has enhanced lumber production significantly. Okay, so that's actually more English-like than some other stuff that I've read. But here's the interesting bit. The company who publishes this game is suing a blogger for libel because there's this blogger. Let's see. My eyes are going in my old age. This guy named Bruce Everest, who is apparently – he has his own blog. You can look up his blog. It's E-V-E-R-I-S-S. And so basically he's posted a lot of material up on his blog saying, hey, Ebony might be spyware, malware, whatever. Here's some, you know, reports of people who've experienced weird things happening on their, you know, on their browser and on their computer after installing it. And here's some other, you know, very questionable things about it. And they read it, and, you know, it's reasonable things to say about something like that that looks questionable. And, yeah, and, you know, in some posts he's like, you know, okay, don't buy Ebony, right? So – they're actually
you don't buy it at all.
Well, don't play it. You're right. You don't buy it. It's
free forever.
That's right.
I think you can buy upgrades.
Apparently, it buys you. I guess if all the stuff he's accusing of it is true. Yeah. So now they're trying to sue him. Right. He lives in the UK. They're trying to sue him in Australia, and the company is Chinese.
That's hilarious. All right. Well, we got to go to break.
Yeah.
So we can continue when we get back. Stay tuned, everyone. Give us a call if you'd like.
And we're back, rocking harder than ever, Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
And to continue rocking, we need to mention that UAT.edu is the website for the University of Advancing Technology, a wonderful school where you can go and learn about making games. So do that, UAT.edu. Now,
was that generic enough, rocking harder than ever?
It was quite generic.
That's me practicing my marketing speak.
Yeah. So let's finish this Ebony thing up. Was there one last thing you wanted to mention?
Yeah, so there's a couple of... Okay, so apparently not only did they lift text from other games, but they've lifted graphics for buildings and terrain, apparently straight from Age of Empires, which recently has been removed and changed with other graphics that people are surmising may have been just lifted from less well-known sources. So that's good.
I just want to be clear. The reason we're talking about this is the grand irony of them stealing a bunch of stuff and then suing someone.
So there's that, and just the fact that This guy's blogging, giving his opinion, and they're actually suing the guy. Like, how can you sue?
Well, it depends how you word it.
Yeah, it just depends how you word
it. He says it is malware, that's bad. If he says he thinks it's malware.
No, actually, no. I read Mr. Everest's posts, and you know what? He's actually very, very level-headed about the way he's lodging these complaints. So.
That's cool. Well, then they'll lose. It'll be fine. So I said earlier you can give us a call if you want to. It's 866-536-1100 for the duration of the program if you're listening live. I also want to remind everyone that I have a Twitter account, and so does Rich. If you want to connect with us on Twitter, connect.
And if you want to Twitter with me, you're SOL.
If you want to experience synergy, if you want to be part of our what do they want to be?
I don't. I haven't used Twitter in like 3 weeks.
Part of our community. All
sure.
Right. Well, you can certainly Twitters with me, and I'm Cbox Alon, just like my username on. No. On Xbox Live Arcade, I'm Chatterbox.
You're Mo Alon on Xbox Live, and you're Cbox Alon.
No, I'm Chatterbox Alon.
Is it Chatterbox Alon?
I lost Mo Alon to a test account before I ever paid for it. Yeah. So anyway, Chatterbox Alon or Cbox Alon on Twitter. Do that, because one of these days I'll actually get more than 2 followers. It'll be fantastic. And then I'll have people to talk with, and I won't feel so lonely. So I said we wanted to talk about Scribblenauts. Got Scribblenauts. You and I have been playing a lot of Scribblenauts, Rich.
I'm playing some Scribblenauts. I wouldn't say a lot.
We've been playing a lot of Scribblenauts, Rich.
I've been playing more. Lately.
You've actually played more than me, I think. Because you've got all these levels that I never played.
Well, I skipped World 2, 3, and 4. I mean, I played for a little while yesterday, and I played a little bit today.
I played it for about 3 minutes.
All right.
Yeah,
you really didn't experience the game. You just played on the opening, like, select screen or something.
Well, I mean, in my defense, it was right before the show, but in your defense, I have absolutely no interest in playing the game.
It's cool, man. Now, part of the secret, though, is that God is pretty much the ultimate weapon. He basically doesn't get killed by anything except apparently vampires. Well, I guess he's not killed. He's just transformed and then he attacks you. Anyway, so you can pin up God against any. So you just create God, put him next to a dog or a bee or whatever, and he'll destroy them.
So is God the solution to every puzzle in the game?
Almost, yeah. I've tried doing stuff like magic wand or things like that. There's this one level I tried to use a teleporter, right? And instead of teleporting me on the other side of something, which would kind of defeat a lot of the purpose of the game, it just transforms you to this, or transports you to another dimension where you, I don't know, like sometimes there are enemies, sometimes there aren't, and you just have to survive and then teleport out and you go back to the beginning of the level again.
Now, do you ever have to unlock God, or is God available from the
beginning? No, you just type God and pop him in. Put him right in there. It's interesting.
All right.
It is.
Good times.
They have this strange currency, Rich, in the game that you and I were discussing. We thought it was a little
stupid.
Silly.
Stupid.
What's the currency called?
Allers.
Allers, you say?
What does that even mean?
It's a dollar without a D.
So I was saying that maybe they developed it with dollars, and then someone was all like, no, we might be offensive to someone in France or something, so let's change it. But instead of just changed
it
to Allers.
That's just like one of those like passive-aggressive quickie changes, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, right? But it's not mentioned that much. They could very easily have replaced it with another word, maybe a word of the same length if they were worried about text size in certain screens.
Well, you can't go wrong by making it shorter. And it just seems like, oh, what about localization or all this other stuff? Okay, let's just take the D off.
So, Rich, you are much more animated about this.
Who cares about localization? Like, it's a dollar.
But some people might be offended,
it's
man.
It's not a U.S. dollar. It doesn't say U.S. dollar. A dollar is a dollar. Like, it's a common word.
Yeah, but what if some French guy gets offended by it?
Well, then he doesn't matter. Who cares if a French guy gets offended?
That's right. In Rich's world...
If a person gets offended...
Only America matters.
I want to hear this.
No, not just America. If a person in general would look at it and go...
Okay, maybe Guam also.
They're using the word dollar, and I'm offended by that. If a person is playing Scribblenauts and is offended by the word dollar in France or Germany or India or whatever country they're in, that person doesn't matter.
So we should just allow everything in the game? Like,
we can just do whatever. I mean, obviously,
you realize that your quotations are verging on Bobby Kotick status, which we're also talking a few.
This argument, though, this is why really.
But it's not a maturity game. It's an E for everybody game. So obviously they exclude certain words. But dollar.
Well,
the word dollar has whatever. It's a dollar.
So he's saying if they're offended, then we don't care about them. So that's why I was thinking we should allow the inclusion of vagina in the game.
Well, we're just speculating here, but I really don't think that it was any issue of offense.
It's probably them trying to be all cutesy and like calling it an oller because it sounds neat.
That very right. well could be it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Could be a collar. I really okay. wanted someone to suggest, what would a vagina do in Scribble Knots? This is where I wanted you
That's
guys to go
That's what I've been
with
trying
that.
To figure out,
did
but
you,
I don't know.
Oh, did you try typing it in? Does it work?
They specifically say that suggestive things are not allowed.
Oh, well, but it's not really suggestive at all. It's rather explicit.
I was like, how would you use that? Because you can put in a black hole, and you can put in a wormhole, and they suck in other things. So I thought a vagina might have the same effect.
I see.
Anyway.
One thing that I did notice is that going off of what you just said, is that they seem to categorize many, many objects within groups of classes. And so this, obviously that makes sense because, you know, they have 22 some thousand odd valid words.
Supposedly more,
but they won't tell us anymore, which just leads everybody to suggest that there's probably about 5 more.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a good game. It's interesting.
According to Alan.
It has its faults, right? But I like it. I like that I can just create pretty much anything, pop it in the game, and then it's weird though. They have a lot of like foods.
Yeah.
So like I'll put in just some random set of letters to see what it suggests.
Yeah.
Did you mean this or this?
I started doing that too also.
Yeah. And then it comes up with just this weird stuff. I don't even know what that is. There's all these different names of chemicals and stuff.
Yeah.
And you don't know what they do. I have no idea. But I tried adrenaline once, but it just comes out as like a pill or something.
Yeah.
But you can't use it. So it doesn't help you. Anyway, it's out now, so you should give it a whirl. It's definitely a different kind of game.
All right, now that we're talking about games, let's talk a little bit about Dirt 2.
Yeah, you showed me this book. You brought in the instruction manual, right?
I sure did.
What was so hard about finding this game, by the way?
Now, it's only the fact that the date that they said that it was going to come out wasn't the day that it was available in stores, even though it was just publicly announced all over the place and up on signs in stores and so on.
So I'm looking at the instruction booklet. They refer to their racing modes as disciplines.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a little tactful choice of words.
There's a lot of them though. I wouldn't expect there to be this many. Like Rally and Trailblazer.
Why don't we go over each one and maybe I can tell you guys what you do in every different mode in this game.
All right. Let's start at the top. Rally racing.
All right. Well, so, you know, the objective of rally is to drive as fast as you can and come ahead before all the other cars.
Okay. Trailblazer.
So in that game mode, you're supposed to drive as fast as you can. And come in first ahead of all the other cars.
Sounds remarkably similar. How about Raid?
Raid. Well, Raid's really cool because, you know, you're supposed to drive as fast as you can and come ahead of all the other cars.
I see a trend. Land Rush.
Land Rush is really unique because, in Land Rush, you're supposed to drive as fast as you can in uncharted territory and finish ahead of the other cars.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising,
actually. And finally, we have Rally Cross.
And Rally Cross is drive as fast as you can on a circuit and finish ahead of the other cars.
That's interesting. Well, they are all racing disciplines.
Okay, so obviously we're getting kind of ludicrous about this.
Well, Raid, does it involve multiple cars?
There are some differences between them. I'm really just kind of being a little exaggerating to make a point here, which is that... you know, they go to a lot of trouble to differentiate between these things, and there are some small differences in between them, but you're really just doing the same thing in most of them. And it's really getting to the point where, like, it's like the marketing of games seems to be getting so heavy that in the game itself, it's almost as if, I don't know, at least for myself as a gamer, like the game is marketing itself at me while I'm playing it, right? Like, they're trying to give the impression that there's all this cool content, there's all this stuff in there, and, you know, they don't necessarily have to, and most of it's kind of just exaggerated anyway. Now, they do have a couple of different modes where you actually do different things.
When we get back, I want you to tell me about time travel in this racing game.
Okay. It's actually not new, but we'll be back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back. Rich, what's going on the in the place, the chat room.
The live,
be talking
live chat room.
We're just having a little argument, conversation about some different stuff.
Is it lively in there?
Yeah, me and Fopa are kind of going back and forth quite a bit.
Is it a secret? Are you guys like kissing and you don't want to tell us about it?
It's not really
a
secret.
Are you cybering?
It's a very complex issue that you might not understand.
Oh, okay. So that must mean that they're arguing about something that's hopelessly, incredibly...
Unrelated to games,
no, and boring.
It's actually related to games in that, like, Sony and Microsoft pricing of consoles and R&D costs and everything like that.
All right, so let's definitely stay out of that one.
Rich and I were talking about the potential price drop of the Wii before the show today.
It's not a potential, it's happening. I mean,
the potentially soon to come price drop. Apparently there's controversy over this, but I think that's probably just from someone who's dumb.
Picks. It happened.
All right, works for me. Let's get back to Dirt 2.
Okay, Dirt 2.
Which actually I misspelled as Diet 2 once when I was typing about it.
That's funny. So we've got Rally Racing, Trailblazer Racing, so, Raid Racing, Landorus Racing, Rallycross Racing.
Okay, so there's actually a couple of game modes where you do different things, but my point is that there's... This game in particular, I think, is a really good example of how the game is just marketing itself to you.
Is that a picture of the game or a real picture?
That's probably, I don't know.
That looks like a real picture to me.
Yeah, it might be.
Okay. It has a lot of dirt.
So anyway, but you were asking about time travel.
Yes,
right?
Apparently you can flash back. I've never done this in a racing game.
Okay, so actually this isn't a new feature. And of course they're going to explain it as time travel. But all it is basically is when you crash or something weird happens, right, that you don't like, you can go to replay mode and it'll show you a replay of, I don't know, like N seconds back from where you stopped the game. And you can actually go back to that point by pressing a button. And you can do this a limited number of times. Obviously, okay. It doesn't work in multiplayer.
Yeah, that would be a little bit weird impossible. But
which is kind of cool, but yeah, they did it in Grid, actually. And they're bringing it over here, too.
But there is a finite number of these per match.
Yeah, unless you're doing something like a time trial or whatever.
Okay. And then you can do it repeatedly?
You can do it a fixed number of times. And if you're doing like a time trial, it doesn't matter anyway.
Okay.
Right, because it's like, okay, so you
In time trial, you can use as many as you need, but you'll invalidate the current lap or stage.
There you go. So...
Okay, so Dirt, yeah, it's a waste.
Yeah, yeah.
Why bother?
So Dirt 2 is really interesting to me because I have so many complaints. I have just lists and lists of things to complain about, but I rather like the game. I like it quite a bit, but I also really like to complain
about it. You're especially
picky
about racing games, though.
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because it's a racing game. Maybe it's because it's a halfway decent rally racing game, and there's no other rally racing games for us to play these days, so we're stuck with this one. But they do so many things. They're so irritating about the way they do certain things. The best description, the most succinct explanation I've ever heard of Dirt 2 is actually by... someone I'll just name as Anonymous, who said, "It treats me like a downy on a Make-A-Wish tour." Which, I mean, like, I wish I could just be that eloquent.
That's hilarious and totally inappropriate for this venue. What are you saying?
Absolutely. Yes, I'm sure. Yes, if you're offended, you can give us a call, 866-536-1100.
No, if you're offended, you don't matter, as Rich pointed out earlier.
Oh, right, of course, yes. And that you can talk to Rich or me, depending on how offended you are.
If you're offended by allers, you don't matter.
Okay.
Or dollars.
But here's something that's interesting. On page 14 of the instruction manual, the customization section. As you build up experience and prove yourself as a driver, you'll unlock loads of cool stuff which you can slap on your vehicle before each race.
You know what? This was completely... I didn't ask you to read that part, although before the show I did ask you to so we could do a little game mode stickerooski, but I wanted to bring that up because I have never unlocked so many different things I couldn't care less about in a game.
Whether you care about it or not, I want to continue reading here because there's something you'll find interesting.
Go ahead.
Livery to jazz up your rides,
yeah, just different,
and express yourself with these paint jobs.
Yeah, different paint jobs.
Okay. Toys. Fantastic plastic for your dashboard and rear view mirror.
Right, which do nothing.
Self-explanatory, just graphics that get in the way. Here's the best part. Horn packs. What do these do?
Nothing.
But, so I assume it's new horns for your car.
Right.
They describe it as unlock new ways to annoy people online.
There you go. That's
you know
all
you talk
we're looking
about,
for.
You talk about these racing games where people go backwards and they create intentional roadblocks and stuff.
Yes.
They built it not only into the game, but in the instruction manual, ways to annoy people Not annoy fake players who aren't really there.
No,
specifically annoy real people online.
That's right, because that's really, you know, when you go online, there's just, it's not worth doing anything but endeavoring to annoy everyone around you as much as possible.
That, I think, is the most important part of this instruction manual. That's the what I get the most out of.
I would concur with that. So let's talk about online a bit. They actually do a couple of interesting things here. For one, I've given up on the fact that anybody tries to play nicely in these racing games.
Why would you?
What?
Why would you play nicely? Totally screw
right,
with people.
Right. Of course. I mean, it's, of course. Why?
It's, you're not here to make friends.
Yeah. Just like, you know, because why drive with skill when you can run into things? Of course. But they actually do a couple of cool things, which I think are kind of like these new features. I think that they're kind of testing out because I don't think that they're necessarily implemented as well as they could be. But one thing they do is they actually give you before a race this kind of like this rating of each driver that has some correlation with how often they crash and hit things, right? And so right before you're about to race, you see the sticker in front of every driver. And if it's green, it means, oh, this guy is really careful and almost never hits things. If it's yellow, it means, you know, okay, you're in the middle. And if it's red, you better watch out for that guy because he has a reputation for actually crashing into things all around him.
Is the theory that they're bad so they hit stuff, or
yes,
they're aggressive players so they'll hit you? Because hitting sides of the road and hitting you are two totally different things.
Right. Well, it's really not clear exactly how they're calculating this metric. But basically, the general idea is that, you know, if somebody has a red marker next to them, they're pretty unruly, and their objective is usually to smash into you and or other things instead of actually trying to race around the track.
See, I wonder how they measure that, and if they basically only give you a little, you know, virtual tick mark for that redness or aggression,
right,
if you hit another player rather than the wall.
Well, it's probably, I mean, if I were doing it, I would probably have it just measure how many times you contact other players instead of the wall.
Let's look in this here instruction booklet and see if it says anything about that.
Well, it does, but I mean, I don't think we can really top that level of entertainment that we just encountered.
It says to play fair, behave yourself, play fair. In any online race, you can be disqualified for unfair play. How do you get...
Right, so actually, it will detect if you do things like drive backwards.
Driving backwards
and it will
not
disqualify you. And so that's pretty nice. So I'm glad that at least somebody out there is trying to do certain things to actually make the online play at least have the appearance of being fair.
So it says in Dirt 2, you're given an online safety rating or impact rating.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
This is for other players to see what kind of a driver you are. Keep it clean and you'll enjoy. So this still doesn't explain who you're impacting. But they're making strides.
Right. They're not telling you exactly what the algorithm is.
So when they say, you know, not to go in reverse or go backwards or whatever, you get kicked, can you just go in reverse the whole time? Or is it if you turn around?
I don't know. Why
backwards?
Don't you try that and get back to us, Rich?
Because, like, going in reverse, that could be legitimate.
Because, of course, you would think of, like, the ridiculous way to kind
of
circumvent that.
How they're taking they going the wrong way? Like, when you turn
I'm
around,
curious
you go the other way, or is it reverse?
Yes.
I think if you go reverse, it wouldn't count.
It might
unless
not
they
count,
thought of that.
But they could also say if you go above a certain speed and go in that direction.
Which reverse might, I don't know,
or
stay
or they
in
say
first gear.
If your car just moves around the track in the other direction.
For too
regardless
long
of where
you're
facing.
Couldn't tell you guys.
I think that's great.
But yeah, so the one thing that really irks me the most about this game is the fact that they are so over the top with their presentation.
I can tell by their instruction manual.
Yeah, it's like it's way. I mean, like I thought other games were like wait, like had this like I'm way too cool for you attitude kind of thing. Like this one is like so over the top. It's like you've ever seen Harold and Kumar, the extreme guys, you know, who get into the canoe.
The giant truck.
Yeah, and they're in the giant truck and they throw the giant canoe in the convenience store and they tear open bags of Doritos and they're like, oh, extreme. Right? Like when I'm playing this game, I feel like that whole gang is sitting around me on all sides and just yelling extreme into my face.
That's actually really good. I'd forgotten about that.
It's too much. Every time you level up, the screen shakes like they're like the whole your television is about to explode. Like, come on guys, I'm on level like 5 and I can get up to level 30 before the interesting things stop happening. It's not that dramatic.
So now I guess the right question is just, are you kicking ass at this game?
I'm not really kicking that much ass. I mean, I've played it a few times. I mean, I wish I could honestly play it more than I have been. But, yeah, there's always, I mean, the funny thing is...
You're spending too much time with Scribblenauts?
Yes, exactly. It's Scribblenauts. No, I'm actually spending too much time actually having a life and doing other things, which is kind of surprising. But, yes.
That is surprising.
Yeah.
So, I imagine we've got a few other things to talk about. Rich, before the show started, I asked you if there was some stuff.
I probably told you some stuff, and I don't remember, because now I'm on this topic.
Because you're in the online chat. Oh!
Yeah.
Oh! Yeah, I don't know. All right.
Do we have...
But,
No,
we have just another minute, but he was saying that there was something you've had from last week that you wanted to get into, and for some reason I'm drawing a total
What
point.
Did we get? Well, I mean, we have all kinds of stuff, but from
all
last week,
stuff?
I don't
All right.
Know.
Do you want to go into the Kotick thing, or?
No, we can't leave that half and half. That we got to give that one the whole breadth of the experience. I can keep talking about Dirt 2, you know?
I don't want to keep talking about Dirt 2.
How about Need for Speed Shift?
Why don't you ask me?
Need for Speed Shift came
Seriously,
out today.
Did you play that?
I actually played it today,
It
yeah.
does look like it has really good graphics.
It actually, like, I thought it was going to be a POS, and...
Did you just play the demo?
You know what? Actually, I didn't play it. I watched somebody play it, mm-hmm. and I said, hey, this doesn't look half bad, and this actually looks like it might actually play well. Maybe.
What is the theme? What does shift mean?
No, this is...
It's just, hey, you're going to go really fast?
It seems like it's more of a serious actual circuit racing game, like a competitive racing game, not like, you know, you're getting chased by cops or you're underground on the street night racing. It's actually like a legitimate racing game.
It's weird.
Which pleases me. Because...
Your selection of gaming is really just racing games... a few shooting games, and then some other weird stuff that nobody ever plays.
Some music games and a couple RPGs. That's usually what I play.
All right, well, we're going to break. We got one more segment when we'll talk about good old Bobby Kotick. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Can you believe it's the last segment already?
It is. It's crazy. And I didn't even talk about Wet or... There was some other stuff I played.
That sounds pretty disgusting.
Wet just came out like today, I think. I got the press release today saying it's out. Actually, not so bad. I mean, I only played the demo, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Also kind of weird and like gratuitous, but... Yeah.
I'm waiting for them to start coming out with game names that are two letters long, now that we've worked our way down from four letters to three letters.
Hasn't that happened before? There's got to be a game that's only two letters
two long. Two letters long? I don't think so.
Id is a developer that's only two letters.
Did they never make a game out of the movie Pi?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
That would be funny, though.
That would be probably a depressing game to play.
Perhaps a little bit.
What is the game? Just
black and white?
It's like just... Recite the number?
I don't know. Black and white, mathematician kills himself. I don't know.
All right. Well.
And it's on the Wii, and you can move the controller around.
All right. So we don't have a lot of time, but I want to make sure that we get to Bobby Kotick and Gabe Newell before we run out.
That's right. And to make sure you have enough time, I'm going to mention right off the bat the fantastic website UAT.edu and its companion university, University of Advancing Technology. So check it out. Check it out so you can make games.
All right, so let's talk about
Bobby Kotick. He's crazy.
If you don't know, he's the CEO of Activision Blizzard.
That company that was big and then small and now big again.
And now just not just big again, but just this enormous and
a little crazy.
Throbbing with money.
Now, we've talked about Kotick in the past, how he's somebody who doesn't even play games. He just saw this as a good business opportunity. He picked up Activision, and now he's trying to run it like... not like a sweatshop, but he...
Right. No, like a sweatshop.
He doesn't have any interest in making it fun to work there.
And that's true. And so these words actually came from this 45-minute presentation that he gave at the Deutsche Bank Securities Technology Conference in San Francisco. Which
clearly not a room full of gamers.
No, it sounds very, very boring. This is basically a... financial talk that he gave, right? I mean, this guy is the consummate businessman, not a gamer, a business person.
Yeah. I want to mention for a second to our uninitiated listeners, Deutsche Bank basically owns everything on the planet. Chances are you're somehow connected to things that they sell you or services that they provide for you in many more than one way.
Sure.
Right.
So
they own the universe, basically. The Earth as a whole.
Right. So... GameSpot published an article basically with a bunch of quotes from Bobby Kotick during this presentation many of which make no sense. And so we're hoping maybe we
can...
Is that
because we've removed context?
Well, we're not sure, right? Because, you know, we weren't able to scrounge up what the actual full text of the whole thing was. So we really, all we have is this GameSpot thing to go off of. So maybe they're taken out of context, but we're going to play the game of let's try to figure out what the hell Bobby Kotick's saying. So I'm just going to read to you, I'm just going to read quotes, right? Just completely out of context.
And I'm listening. I'm zen
and,
right
and
now.
And we'll see. Well, maybe we start with the easy ones, right? So he was talking about employee incentives, and so he was very, very explicit about designing employee incentive programs so that they, quote, really reward profit and nothing else. So, okay.
Well, what else would you reward?
Well, you know, that's a good point. You know, if you're running a business, you know what? That's not so far off to say that.
Well, no, I guess... Alternatively, like some people reward hitting milestones, like getting so far in the development, and you don't really know what you have until it
right.
actually sells. And so if you make a good game and nobody buys it, but then again, a lot of that has to do with the marketing, not
right,
so
right.
much the development.
I mean, it's a bit cutthroat, but honestly, not so bad. I mean, you know, if you're going to have additional incentives, hey, you know what? When we make money, you make money. And that's fair to say.
Yeah. When in the past, though, some other companies reward, for instance, Metacritic scores. And he says, I don't care. It could have a score of 10
right.
if people buy it. 10 out of 100, I mean.
Sure.
If people buy it, then you win.
And you know what? To
make me games that make money.
Frankly, that sounds pretty fair.
Okay,
but,
not crazy so far.
Okay, so here it gets starting to get a little crazier. So later he had a quote that said, we have a real culture of thrift. The goal that I had in bringing a lot of the packaged goods folks into Activision about 10 years ago was to take all the fun out of making video games. Now, this is the one statement that's actually getting the most amount of attention, and you can construe it probably three or four different ways.
I'm curious
ways.
If he means for the other people who are there who have to deal with it. They bring in someone who makes the games, and then we just don't have fun. We just take care of the business side, or...
Right. Well, we don't know if he's saying that, or
what
if he's
saying... What
did he
mean by packaged goods folks?
I do know what he means by that. And by that, he means that... This is what the companies, the corporations have been doing to the game industry for the past 10 years anyway. It's not just Activision.
You mean just buying up whole development houses?
No,
is that what
they mean is that they're treating the business as a commodity. They're treating it as, for example, manufacture and sale of toilet paper, not the manufacture and sale of an inherently creative product. They're not selling this stuff like they're selling music or paintings. They're selling it like toilet paper.
Well, they are selling it like music.
I don't understand what he means by who are the packaged goods folks.
So I don't know exactly what companies he brought from. He was bringing employees from, but ostensibly he brought in a bunch of executives and leaders for the company who were part of the packaged goods industry, right? Not necessarily part of the game.
Oh, actually people who come from a packaged
yes.
goods industry?
Yes, yes. The people themselves are not
See,
packaged goods.
I thought he was
goods.
Speaking metaphorically, though.
Right. No. But the real kicker is, like, what is he talking about to take my... What is it?
Take all the fun
goal
out of it.
Was to take all the fun out of making video games. Now, some people are construing it as, oh, those game developers are playing around with Nerf guns all the time and they're not getting to work. I don't think he means that. What I think is actually... what I've referred to a few times previously on the show, which is there are some people in this business that are approaching it so cutthroat that their only objective, the only thing they care about, is to make money at the expense of every other aspect of doing this endeavor. And I fundamentally disagree with that, because if you get into the video games business, right, you get into it for a specific reason over other businesses. Now, people like him get into it because they decide this is the way that I'm going to utilize to make the most amount of money possible legally at the expense of everything else. This is his MO.
That,
yeah.
I don't buy that. You know what? I'm working in the games industry not to make as much money as possible, but because there's actually something there that I care about, that I'm passionate about, that's really interesting to me, that I want to explore in my life.
That
doesn't figure into Bobby Kotick's world.
Yeah, Bobby Kotick's mentality, like based on what he was saying, sounds a lot like... why the video game crash happened to begin with.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, with Atari and that whole thing.
With in this age of information, we've learned that a lot of people attack or take on many different ventures, right? And one thing you've learned, you learn as you get older, is that going into something for the wrong reason will usually not result in the success that you've seen other people get at when they didn't go into it for the wrong reason.
It's possible.
Like Twitter, I think, is an example that's very current right now, that it started off as this thing with a small plan. It didn't have these huge visions. And now all of a sudden, like, everyone on the planet's using it. And they didn't set out like with this goal of taking over the world or doing something that huge. And I'm sure MySpace started out the same way. And video games, when people make a good game, we have this cool idea, like Katamari, right? It's a cool idea. Let's make it. Oh, crap. It's really successful. All the other people who copycat it, they're not going to do as good a job because it's not in their heart. They're just doing something that's junky, and not to mention copying someone else.
Right. And I mean, you know, there's certainly a lot of risks and dangers there. But I want to be extremely clear about this because there's a lot of talk about the balance between the business side of games and the creative side of games. And I'm not one of those people, and I'm not saying that if you are running a business, you should just do whatever you want creatively. There has to be, it's a continuum. You know, it's not like you choose between you're all business, I mean, I guess Bobby does, or you're all just creative and like, oh, I don't want to do that, you know, kind of thing, because I don't feel like it and I'm the author kind of thing, right? There's a balance somewhere in the middle of those two extremes. It's a continuum of possible postures that you can take. And I do recognize that, you know what? Yeah, if you're a business, you have to do certain things for business reasons in order to survive as a business. But you know, the position that you're in this industry, you choose somewhere along that continuum that you're comfortable with. And, you know, Mr. Kotick here is obviously on the complete extreme side, which I don't know. I mean, like, I guess you can do that, right? But the question that I ask is, why are you here? Why are you not a banker? Why are you not in real estate? Why do you choose video games to be a part of if there's a whole bunch of other industries that, frankly, are much easier to make money in?
Well, maybe because there aren't people like him in the industry, so he thought low competition or something. But what's funny is that his company is still publishing games that people applaud as some of the best games ever, like the whole Call of Duty series.
Sure.
People think is fantastic.
Well, and every other
so
game.
He's not getting in the middle of it. Every other game they put out, you mean?
Yeah.
What about the Guitar Hero series?
No, I'm saying as far as Call of Duty goes, every other game is awesome. Every other game
is fantastic. Oh, every other game in the
except
series.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty 3 is, Call of Duty 4 isn't, Call of Duty 5, or the other way around.
Call of Duty 4 is phenomenal. Call of Duty 3 was not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yep.
Was that really just one that was bad?
Well, Call of Duty 5 is not as good either. And people like the multiplayer of it, which is just a copy-paste of Modern Warfare onto World War II times.
Well, anyway.
So.
They seem to be putting so I guess that's an example, though, that where they're ruining it by
basically,
taking the money.
They're like, okay, awesome, Infinity Ward does this, and then okay, Treyarch, just copy-paste that and do it again.
So that's actually an example
it literally is copy-pasting.
Of Kotick's mentality ruining the games, I guess. Because instead of having a full palette of good games, only half of them are good because he's trying to make it perennial and have the people who are really good at it.
It's a complicated
is
issue.
Is DJ Hero going to be the same way, just forcing something out?
They're gonna pound it to the ground until it's completely dry of money, and then we'll see what happens.
This is a far more interesting topic than I anticipated.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get to Gabe Newell. We'll definitely get to him next week.
Well, we will be back. We've got guests. We'll see you.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.